In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle in them fire thy love. Send forth your Spirit, and you shall renew the face of the earth. All you holy angels of God, pray for us. As we continue these talks on Christian meditation, first to note that these talks are recorded and they're on the Facebook site. Hopefully they're also on the website, as I'd asked to. You can contact me if they're not able to access those. Tonight I will speak about the Passion of our Lord as a practical application of meditation, as I've outlined according to St. Ignatius in the Catholic tradition. First, the particular method that I've traced, which is not the only method, but it gives you a form, is that of St. Ignatius Loyola in the Spiritual Exercises. And the form is always the same. First, you ask for the grace you're seeking in the particular meditation. You always should have behind every meditation and prayer that you're seeking to do all things for the greater glory and praise and reverence of our Lord. And that's part of the grace that you're asking for. And then you can ask for the particular grace of the meditation. As we're meditating on the Passion of the Lord, it would be to have, normally have grief and sorrow with the grief and sorrow with the Lord. And again, to use your faculties, your senses, your entire person to exercise yourself to enter into the meditation. So you see with your eyes, in your imagination at least, the suffering of our Lord before you. You hear with your ears what they might have been said. You perhaps try to imagine the terrible smells. You can have the scene before you, the wind blowing or the dust going around. And then use your mouth to converse with the Lord. This is part of exercising everything that you have to enter into the meditation following the Lord. And again, as I said, part of the great fruits of meditation, you could say, going to the heart of meditation, is first relationship. You're building that relationship with the Lord. And second, the conversation with Him. So the method is not as important as the relationship that's built with the conversation with the Lord. Now, we shouldn't be deceived as if some people have the imaginations, very active imagination, as if they're hearing back from the Lord. This is very rare. It does happen, but even that should be discerned. Is it really the Lord's voice, or is it some kind of imagination, or deception, or something from the evil one? Or the biggest way that the Lord responds is a certain sense of peace, and that you are growing in virtues, and it becomes part of your intellectual imagination and your outlook on the world, what you've meditated upon. So as you're going through the Passion of the Lord, if you're doing the 30 days, St. Ignatius would have you break it down into each part or multiple parts of the Passion. And this is only a little bit about what you can meditate on, because we know that there are religious orders that spent their whole life meditating on the Passion and death of our Lord, getting so much fruits from it. Just to give a couple of themes that you could take from, now the Passion, what do you mean? From Holy Thursday, the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, the way of the cross, to the cross of our Lord. some themes that you could use, get so many different angles that you could meditate, that is, you picture those images in your mind and enter into the scenes, and those different mysteries of the Lord and His Passion. You could take it just in terms of looking at His physical sufferings and talking to Him about these sufferings that He suffered for you. You could take it in terms of His psychological sufferings, that He was in anguish for sinners during all of those sufferings, and talk to the Lord about His psychological sufferings during those times. Especially this is drawn out in the Garden of Gethsemane. You could take it in just particular aspects, like focusing on the Sacred Heart of Jesus beating for love of you during His Passion, and just see His loving outpouring. And your response is so much ingratitude for what He did for love of you as a sinner. Or you could just focus on His precious blood, as some of the great saints like Saint Bridget have done, even trying to count every single drop of blood that He shed for us as an act of love, which it is, which also represents at least one of our sins. Just to put this in perspective to the magnitude of the meditation, let's start with some questions and reflections about what the meditation can do for you, in a sense, in terms of changing your way of thinking. There's a great period in art in the Spanish tradition, 16th, 17th century, in which they started to do realistic portrayals of art, especially focused on religious art. Taking statues and making the most realistic depictions that they could of saints and Jesus, especially, is one great piece of our suffering Lord, in which you could see every detail captured, seemingly the anguish of His face, the horror of beholding the sin, the weight of the cross upon His shoulders, the scourging in His back, even the drops that were continuing to flow down as He was pushed along the way of the cross. Beholding this image, I was with another religious brother in formation, a simple brother, prayerful though, devout. I looked at that and I asked him, I said, "Why did the Lord have to shed thousands of drops of blood for us?" He sort of thought and went on. Then I asked again, "Why did the Lord have to shed thousands of blood, drops of blood for us?" And he shrugged and sort of went on. And I asked again, "Why did the Lord have to shed thousands of drops of blood for us?" He sort of shrugged. And I repeated this about 50 times, and finally he got a little bit annoyed and upset with me. And then I turned and said, I don't know. It's my meditation that He so loved us." And then he stopped. He said, it struck him, yes, this is something that we need to meditate on. He said it changed his religious life as he started to reflect then. Wow, the Lord did that for me. Every single drop of blood was a calling out in love. This then goes into new details in your imagination about the Lord's suffering. It's no longer just, okay, it's there. Wow. Each and every drop of blood was an act of love of our Lord. the one who is God Almighty, knew beforehand every single act he would do in that passion. And he chose consciously every single act to pour himself out for love of us. This is the end of the passion of our Lord. If you go through all the mysteries in that passion, you put it in that context of the outpouring love of our Lord, and you enter it in each detail, becomes a greater in magnitude the mystery before your eyes and your heart, your mind, your imagination, your entire person. This is the fruit that the Lord is seeking in your lives. So that the Holy Week becomes not just something that is part of time that you go through, that's something that's there every year and that perhaps you go to or not, becomes the very center of your lives. As it was in so many Catholic cultures in the past, even to this day, many countries will shut down for Holy Week, especially from Holy Thursday through Easter Monday, because the most important thing in the year is happening at that time. And this should be, at least in your meditations, the most important things in your lives, because that was the end, the foundation, the very center of our salvation was those days. So that it becomes fixated in your mind that night, starting Holy Thursday. And you can put yourself in the Last Supper with the apostles. Jesus knowing what he was about to do, sharing a festive meal with the apostles, giving them hints, even telling them days beforehand, the Son of Man will go up to Jerusalem, will be handed over to his enemies, crucified, and will die. And they're like, okay, Jesus. He knew who his betrayer would be. He gave him a kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, do you betray the Son of Man? With a kiss, the last outreach of mercy. And we could see the Judas there at that supper and see Jesus' heart pouring out for Judas, as he does for all sinners, wishing them to repent. He sees the seemingly strong Peter, Simon, who knows who will deny him. He's anxious and worried in his heart for this Simon, praying for him that he will be sifted by Satan. And the other apostles who will scatter, friends, he called them, just that day, who now betray him. And to the very end, he gives the most that he can give, his very body and blood in the Eucharist. And you could sit there for a while, just at this Last Supper, listening to their conversation, seeing the sights, smelling the smells, trying to enter into the hearts of the apostles, the heart of Jesus. Perhaps Mary from a distance, who may have had a mystical vision of it, or at least was peeking in with her heart, and see that moment in which he gives his body and blood in the sacramental signs of the Eucharist, the wonder of it, the words of it. And then after that supper, entering into the great conversations of the Lord, the discourses that Jesus had recorded by John, that seemed to go on for hours, but just a short little time, really, burned into the mind and the heart of John that night. And then the dreadful night came, which the Lord asked for them to stay awake, but they would not stay awake. And in the description of St. Luke, we can see our Lord in agony, praying in darkness alone. The apostles were asleep. His hand, according to tradition, burning into the rock. Sweating blood over his anxiety over what was he to pour himself out for. This is the great psychological suffering of our Lord, perhaps greater than any physical suffering that he entered into. That he could look to the end of time, back to the beginning of time, to all the suffering of humanity in all times, and he was called to take that upon himself that night. But even worse than the physical suffering of humanity was the disgusting sin, disobedience of his Father, the sin of humans towards other humans. There's so many wars, so many abuses, so many horrors. All those, you can imagine, flooded into his mind that night. Because he chose to allow them to flood into his mind. Not just as God, but in some sense a conscious choice as a human. Something beyond human nature, but fully within the God-man's capability to take into himself that night all of sins, all of horrors, all of abuses. Then we can see the weight of our sins. Speak to Jesus. Speak to him about that Last Supper, what he gave to us. Speak to him about what he was suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. Talk to him in a loving way. Jesus, thank you for what you did. Jesus, I'm sorry if I sometimes don't even give you a minute. There you're suffering in the garden. Jesus, sometimes I disregard your Eucharist. Jesus, and even to talk to Mother Mary. Mother Mary, help me to be at that Last Supper like you would have been if you were there. Help me to meditate on the sufferings of Jesus in that garden as you would have. As we have the beautiful image when he was, the beautifully sad image when Jesus was finally taken capture by the guards of the Pharisees and thrown in prison. That Mother Mary was there doing vigil outside his cell. She was the faithful one that night. He could speak to her about her vigil for her son. Speak to her and ask her to change your heart into her heart. Speak with devotion and love, not minding that you're theologically correct, precise in your words, but pour your heart and your words out. You could speak about others to Jesus, your family, your difficulties, those far away from God, bringing them into this scene, bringing them into the passion of the Lord. This is part of the meditation. And this then brings you more deeply into the relationship with the Lord. Is the meditating and the entering into the scenes with the Lord. You see, the way that I lay out for you now is a meditation right here tonight. But you can take this home, enter more deeply into those particular scenes, the way of following the Lord, so that it then echoes into your life, so that you have before your mind this imagination, in your heart, this contemplation, on your lips, the conversation with the suffering Lord, which should flow into the rest of your life. If you're sitting in a car, you could take hold of this. If you're waiting in the line, you could take hold of this. When you see a loved one suffering, you could take hold of this. When you yourself are dying somewhere, you can remember and enter into a deeper conversation with the Lord. Whereas you build relationship, then the conversation is built on that loving relationship. Of one who suffered for love of you. And then enter more deeply along the way. Seeing our Lord then in the morning. After the terrible trial. The false trial. The blasphemies. The false accusations. See yourself listening to that. Perhaps putting yourself sometimes in the place of Jesus. Or more likely the place of the accusers, and how many times that you've condemned Jesus to death with false accusations for things that you didn't do, didn't say, like Simon, who stood away and denied Jesus 3 times. Well, the other apostles weren't even there. And then going with Jesus to the place of scourging, as he was condemned by Pilate, who couldn't recognize even truth when it was standing before him. And see the political manipulations, the machinations of so many political figures throughout the history of the world, summed up in that one figure before Jesus. To talk to Jesus about the difficulties you see in the world, see in history, knowing that there is one before you who knows and is the one who is all truth. Talk to him at that time and see in him entering into our sufferings, our difficulties, manipulations, the politics, the horrors, the wars. Ask him about this. Enter into the mystery of the innocent ones who are tortured for the sake of politics. And see Jesus in this. Talk to him about that. When you are innocent, when you are suffering, or when you know that you persecuted somebody, or accused somebody, or participated in some terrible politics. And knowing that in truth, it was not Jesus who was being judged, but Pilate. He had before him life or death. Choosing the way of truth, he could have chosen Jesus in the way of life. But choosing to turn away from truth, he was on the path to spiritual death. This is our choice too, as we can recognize it. And then we come to the scourging of our Lord, where he was whipped in a terrible manner on the Roman scourgings, tearing apart his flesh. And that, as in all the different parts of the mysteries, can be a meditation unto its own. If you take a time, take an hour, for some, even weeks, as in the religious life, meditating on those drops poured out for love of us, for his flesh torn apart for love of us. The horror of it, the scary scene of it, the messiness of it, and the question as to why our Lord suffering with so many others who have been abused, tortured, the innocent ones thrown away, seemingly. To look back at our sins that tear into his flesh. As tradition is always associated, most especially the sins of our flesh, the sins of unchastity, of impurity, sins of different types of abuse and addiction. But knowing in His stripes we are healed. So this is always a dialogue of repentance and love. When we behold the Passion of the Lord, repentance of what we did or did not do. Repentance from denying the grace of the Lord. And then love when we look at Jesus and what He did for love of us. This is always part of the conversation. It should be. It's not just an intellectual process. I've gotten all the points down. Okay, I got each in particular part. And you've not entered into the fruit of the meditation. The conversing with the Lord who is before you, the living Lord Jesus, who once was dead, now is alive. And as you continue further, you can go along with Jesus on the way of the cross. He who was condemned by His own people because He wasn't the type of Messiah they were looking for. The only some among the Jews recognized Him as the true Messiah. And here, He taking up a cross like other common criminals, struggling now, loss of blood, weak, exhausted, having been scourged, crowned with thorns. Another meditation unto itself, as you can do, seeing so many sins of your thoughts, of your ways of thinking, of your just ignoring the Lord, of your stupid judgments and abasements and irritations. So little in reference to the suffering of our Lord just in His crown of thorns, which He lovingly accepted for us. No accounts that He tried to tear it off. So as He walked along, the King of Suffering, struggling up that hill of Calvary, seeing Him enter into the outpouring, even falling, and having to behold His heart torn apart upon seeing His mother. Another meditation that you can enter into deeply. Walking along that way of the cross with Mother Mary, asking her to have, that you have her heart, her eyes, her way of seeing it. This too is another deeper meditation that lays before you. Let me walk along with Mother Mary. Let me enter into her tears, her heart. Let me enter into the love of Jesus as she did and pour myself out as she did. She who was totally innocent, free from sin, still wanted to respond with the greatest outpouring of love. And how little I do in response to the Lord, who am a sinner. This is part of the conversation we can enter into. The going along, the beholding our Lord in a new way. Not just a devotion, a good thing that we do, and thinking about Jesus a little in these times, so that instead it becomes something that you enter into. Something that is always beyond, before your, in your mind, on your heart, at the edge of your lips, that you can speak of personally in your relationship with the Lord. And then at the cross of our Lord, see His hands nailed, piercing, hearing the striking, the clanking, the curses, seeing the blood come out, seeing the moans of the criminals beside him, hearing the screeches of Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene and John, just standing in awe at the suffering the Lord has chosen to enter into. He who could walk on water, calm the seas, multiply the loaves, suffering as a common criminal now. Why does he not come down from that cross? Again, the psychological suffering of the outpouring of our Lord down to the very end. All this is part of the depths of the meditation you can enter into. The fruit that you're seeking. Enter in the sorrow and the difficulties with the Lord in repentance for your sins. Not seeking the fruit of being calm, of having a peaceful, and bringing your soul down. This is not Christian meditation. It's not the fruits that we are seeking. We're seeking relationship with our Lord. A greater understanding and entering into His love, and that loving conversation with Him back, what sometimes can be a suffering love. Because in the heart of Jesus, the great high priest, love and suffering are held together. And that's the conversation we're called to enter into. Not to be aloof, not to be far off, not to be ignorant or dismissive of this conversation, but to truly enter into the meditation with the Lord. That's what He calls us to. That is the method of Catholic meditation, following the Lord. Would then, in these weeks to come, as we enter into the last days of Lent, you can enter in more deeply into those days by meditating in detail about what the Lord did for us, converse with Him in love, and then enter into this meditation for the rest of your lives. The Lord be with you. The precious blood of Jesus upon you, the intercession of our Lady of Sorrows, may Almighty God bless you, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.